Welcome back to Mixed Bag. I'm here with Francesco and Isaac. Hey, guys.
Hey.
Hello there.
We're talking about the June 2024 video game releases. Let's first talk about the games we've been playing for the past couple of weeks. Not that many, but yeah. We played them pretty extensively, I guess.
Yeah.
In the case of Dinkum.
Yeah, so Dinkum recently, like mid-May got its Breezy Autumn update. So like all the major updates have been sort of seasonal themed. So now we're around to autumn and I kind of went back to it again. I've been playing it in co-op. It's just like a pretty chill game. It's like the whole gimmick is it's kind of like vaguely-ish like Australian Animal Crossing in a way. Like everything's kind of themed around Australia but with like some tweaks and stuff. And the whole idea is you're sort of building up a town and you get to choose like where buildings go and like you can terraform everything and like place paths and whatnot. And yeah, like the whole idea is basically just like building up the town, unlocking new licenses to be able to like craft new tools and stuff and like use vehicles. It's just sort of about, yeah, building up your own town. There isn't like an actual like end goal or anything really. So it's like Animal Crossing in that way as well, I suppose. It's not real time based like Animal Crossing, so you can kind of power through it quite quick. Like you're not limited to real time based stuff unless you're like, obviously in Animal Crossing you can cheat, but it's, yeah, you can kind of,
you don't have Rossetti chasing you.
Yeah. You can kind of go at your own pace where like if you want to take it slow you can, if you want to go fast and obviously like sleep every day like early just to speed through the days you can do that too. It's one of the interesting ones where there is like an in-game time system. Like, I think each in-game hour is like 2 minutes real time, but when it reaches midnight, you like days don't actually end until you fall asleep. It just like massively cuts your stamina, so you can like spend the end of the day like putting stuff in boxes and stuff without having to like go to sleep before a specific time or like feigning or whatever, like a lot of the games do. It's just, it's pretty chill. I don't know when it's supposed to come out because it's another one of those early access games where it's like, I don't know if it says on the store page or not, but a lot of early access games do the whole, it's going to be in early access for a year and it never is. Like, in this case, it looks like it was a year minimum, but they never specifically said it would be that. So it's like, I don't know when it's going to fully release or what's actually planned to be added, because the current roadmap's finished. And there's supposed to be a new one at some point, but there's at least one seasonal update and then probably like one other big one before launch. But yeah, it's a pretty chill game, good for co-op. You can kind of cheese stuff in co-op as well by having like another player give you a bunch of stuff and then leaving, and then they don't lose it either. But again, it's all like single player or playing with like other people that you know, so it's like cheating and stuff doesn't really matter. Or like playing by the rules. It's like if you want to do stuff you can, if you don't want to do stuff it's fine. It's just pretty chill.
Yeah, I think there is no real roadmap for the release yet, but
yeah,
it will get additional languages and also console ports once it fully launches.
Yeah, because the roadmap that was given around launch time, like all those patches are implemented now, so it's basically just like we're waiting to see what then, like I guess probably the second final roadmap's looking like.
And it doesn't have Steam achievements yet?
No, but that's not too unusual for early access, because it's kind of like you don't want to put Steam achievements in and then, you know, rework stuff and it doesn't like make sense anymore. It's kind of easier just to wait until full launch. I know some do. Like, some early access games do put some in, but
yeah,
I kind of prefer it this way, because, you know, like the last update introduced, like, a pretty big rework to how stamina and food are work, so it's like, if there's an achievement tied to how those were, then it would be broken now, so.
Sure.
But yeah, I'd imagine they get added. Yeah, it's cool. It's, yeah, it'll be interesting to see if it can run on a base Switch, because
yeah,
how the world's generated and like being able to terraform literally like any part of it maybe causes some issues. But
by the game launches, maybe Switch 2 will be out.
Well, yeah, that's the thing. I'd say if it's going to come to Switch, I don't know if they'll just skip over OG Switch. Like, it'll definitely not be out until next year at the earliest, so...
Another game which is currently in early access, where we don't know when it will launch in 1.0, is The Rogue Prince of Persia, which Francesco and I have played a bit.
Yep.
Only played the bits you saw on the stream. So, yeah.
Did you actually get to the second boss?
No.
Oh.
I couldn't finish the first one. I guess we will get two more bosses once the game finally launches.
Yeah, they did and say they want to double the content that's already available in early access. So I'm assuming 12 biomes. We have 6.
Yeah.
There are 4 main ones, but there are 2 different ones you can unlock. Different paths. And I suppose 2 more bosses. Yeah. Then it's probably going to be something like Hades in terms of life at that point.
Yeah.
For now, it's rather just an early access title.
Like, yeah, this is an
early access title. Hades 2 is not an early access title. That game is pretty much complete already. It's a rare exception in the area of early access titles. This is more like what
it's a new standard for early access, actually, with like. Hades 2.
Yeah. It's kind of sad that they released so shortly after Hades 2. I mean, they had to slightly delay it. Because they said, Hades 2 is coming out suddenly. We have no chance. Let's try to delay it a bit.
It's basically Dead Cells with Prince of Persia. Pretty much, Mobius kind of art style. Yeah.
Same kind of... it's a co-developer, not the same developer. But still, it has the same art style. And
yeah, it's Evil Empire. It's not Evil versus Empire. That I said on the stream. It's a completely different company.
Evil Empire, yeah.
Yeah.
Versus Evil sounds kind of cool, though.
Versus Evil kind of doesn't exist anymore.
Oh, was it? Okay.
RIP.
Yeah, versus Evil, because they got kind of shut down by Tiny Build. Because Tiny Build, kind of bought them a few years back, and then, a month or two ago, they got shut down. So, no more Versus Evil, pretty much.
Yeah, what surprised me is that The Rogue Prince of Persia is not on Ubisoft Plus, but probably because it's early access, and once it fully launches, it will be part of that.
Probably.
Since every other Ubisoft game is on it?
Yeah, it could be just because it's sort of like a collaboration-y sort of game, like it's mainly being done by like a non-Ubisoft.
Yeah, Ubisoft pretty much gave the license and said, you know what?
But they're the publisher still.
Yeah, they are still the publisher, so it's like, it probably...
Yeah, they have their IP rights, so they're still publishing it, but I don't think they're actually that much involved besides marketing and publishing and stuff.
Yeah, they said they have a pretty much free hand.
Early access is also a stylistic question for a Ubisoft game, so... That True. Alone should tell you they have much more freedom.
Maybe they should do that with the Settlers as well.
Maybe.
What else have you guys played?
And I suppose the other main one is one that I mentioned last time as well. It was Rabbit and Steel. The whole a shoot 'em up combined with MMO raiding. It's like fully out. It's been fully out for a little bit now, and it's been getting like a bunch of balance patches and like bug fixes and stuff. It came out in like a good state anyway. It had a pretty decent demo, which I think helped out with like a lot of balancing and like testing and stuff. Because like I know a bunch of people played that, but it didn't include like a lot of the content. But yeah, so it's like mostly it's been like fixing bugs, and recently there was a balance patch that kind of buffed 2 of the classes, so they're more in line with the rest. Like, one of them had an issue where you kind of had to stay in one place to do the most damage, but with how half the fights are designed, that is not feasible. Because it's like a case of in Final Fantasy XIV as well, where there's a job in that where you basically want to be not moving. But like in that game, it's a bit easier to do that, and this one, it's not really, so it kind of got reworked a bit. Be a bit more lenient in that way. But yeah, it's just a fun game. I've mostly played solo, and I've played a little bit co-op, and they kind of rework a bunch of stuff between like single and multiplayer, which is kind of cool. It means like you get a bit of a different experience each time. Because there isn't that much randomness, despite it being like a roguelite. It does stay generally pretty static outside of the items. But yeah, it's a pretty cool game. It's pretty cheap. A bunch of people playing it, so you can kind of just jump in with some random plays. There's actually like a browser for like matches and stuff too, so you don't have to use the Discord, but probably helps anyway. But yeah, fun game.
Is it entry friendly? If you're not familiar with the genre?
Yeah, because the whole thing is it's obviously based around, a lot of it's based around like MMOs and like Final Fantasy 14 specifically, with like a lot of how the classes are designed. But there's each class only has like four abilities and they're all laid out the same, so it's like two attacks, a special, and like a defensive thing. Mm-hmm. So there's like not that many buttons, and there's like a few different difficulty options. Like I think for like beginners, there is like a really easy option, but I think normal is still pretty manageable. Like you might not clear straight away, but it's like the difficulty is just low enough to not be like too overwhelming. And then obviously it gets harder and harder, but yeah, it definitely helps if you already are aware of some of like how the mechanics are designed. Because like some stuff does get carried over, but yeah, the difficulty gets like harder and harder. There's like four difficulties total, and yeah, the last one is very difficult because they start making it so that you have to actually kill the bosses in a certain amount of time too. So you can't just be like avoiding stuff; you have to be always doing damage at the same time. But yeah, it's pretty good. Definitely like pretty good skill curve overall for the difficulty levels, and yeah, co-op and multiplayer being like a little bit different gives it a bit of replayability on top of like doing multiple runs in either. Like you can just do a mix and match of both.
Is there also like a tamed down version of the visuals so you can concentrate on gameplay?
Well, the way it works already is quite simplified, so a lot of the fights, the backgrounds sort of fade out. And like a lot of the attacks have like obvious shapes and stuff. It's like, I think there are some options as well for like visibility and whatnot, but like it's kind of intentionally designed to be not too crazy visually, just because like it's for some of the attacks make it like so you there's only like a little bit of a safe spot on the screen anyway, and if there's like a bunch of particle effects and stuff, it would be like impossible to see.
Yeah,
so like it does try and keep things like relatively minimalistic like by default, but I think mm-hmm. there's some options to like improve that even more. Like I think the default's pretty decent. I just think the only thing I'd say is like sometimes it's not the best about describing like item effects, and it doesn't say like if something gives like a percentage buff, it won't like give you a preview of like what the new damage values are and stuff.
Oh, okay.
But I think that I wouldn't be surprised if something about that comes later anyway. Yeah. But it's just, yeah, it's pretty fun. It's, like, obviously roguelite, but not too random, so you do have a chance of learning the fights. But there's still a bit of variety when it comes to, like, upgrades and stuff. It's just, it's kind of neat. There's nothing really like it out there. And it released at a good time because the latest Final Fantasy XIV expansion isn't out yet. So it's kind of a nice thing to tide us over. And then I'd say...
Scratch that itch.
Yeah, and then they're probably... They are working on a DLC, but that probably won't be out for a while, so like obviously by the time I come back to it there'll probably be some more stuff to do. It's like it's just pretty cool.
If you're more of a fan of narrative driven experiences, Xenua Saga Hellblade 2 may be something for you. Played that recently on the stream and actually finished it in one session, which surprised me.
Yeah, I've heard it's quite short.
Yeah, it's not a really long game.
Yeah, 6 hours around. Yeah, if you enjoyed the first one, if you can talk about enjoyment, Hellblade 2 is definitely something for you. It's quite different from the first game. The first game had many iconic locations. The second is more character-driven. One of the characters looks a lot like Gerald Butler. I was surprised that it's not Gerald Butler. but yeah, Unreal Engine 5, it looks spectacular. Great soundtrack. Not really sure about the ending, but yeah, if you also previously liked Indica, came out quite recently, I think last month maybe, you may like this one as well. Isaac, you said you wanted to play both games? You're in for something then.
Because I have, I think it was part of like a Humble monthly bundle or something a while back, and I did install it on my old PC. But yeah, I never got around to actually playing it. I think I tried playing it on Steam Deck at one point, and it was a little bit annoying to try and find like the right balance of settings to get it to run okay.
Mm.
But I don't expect it to be that long either, so I'll probably just play through it on PC in one go at some point.
It may feel a little bit dated now.
Maybe.
Which you won't feel with Hellblade 2, obviously.
Well, what I've heard specifically is that 2 kind of... For some people, it kind of leans too hard in the whole like cinematic like aspect. Like,
well, the first one did already as well.
Yeah,
combat then, is like, more fun actually in Hellblade 2, I think.
Yeah, because I think like the combat side of things is like where people are pretty mixed on it. Because I have seen a little bit of
simple
combat.
Still, yeah.
Yeah, it's like it's kind of like maybe even more simple, but more like yet cinematic, I guess. Like more
not as frustrating as the first. It's more streamlined. Yeah, as you expect.
But yeah.
And they still have the annoying environmental puzzles.
Oh, yeah.
At least they're mixing them up a little bit with kind of mirrored rooms. It's an interesting puzzle system. But yeah, I didn't really find out how it's exactly connected with the story, but you can also do like a New Game Plus with the some of the characters, the narrating. So you don't have the 2 female voices in your head, but the actual characters that go with you. Wonder how that plays out. Maybe that's also a different ending for that.
Maybe. Just seem a bit of a odd option.
Yeah. Yeah, then there was also Multiverses. Do you want to touch on that?
Well, the thing is, I want to wait until more days have passed to actually make a proper judgment, but
sure. My
first impressions are not good. Somehow they managed to make it worse than it was more than a year ago. So I have to wonder what did they do with this last year, besides adding more microtransactions and make it more annoying than ever. But... Well, there's a lot of problems right now, so... I'm hoping they fix them as soon as they can before the game dies again. But
maybe they played too much of Destiny 2, which is shaping up to have its final DLC on June 4th.
Maybe, I don't know. I honestly don't know what.
Yeah, I think a lot of stuff was leaked today regarding the final shape, the final Destiny 2 DLC, including the story.
Oh, well.
Yeah, I guess we're not are not really a Destiny 2 players. I played the initial base game a bit, but that's it.
Yeah, I did try it, but like, it's just not new player friendly at all now.
Yeah.
And cutting out stuff.
But yeah, June doesn't really have that many releases. But then at least Monster Hunter is making
summer.
A return with, I think, remakes of the original games. One of which was already released. I mean, both of them. But Stories was only on 3DS, and Stories 2 was already on Switch.
So Stories did have a mobile version, which is the version I have, because they keep putting it on sale for really cheap. And yeah, Stories 2 was Stories 2 was Switch. PC, and is now on PlayStation as well. The PC version is probably the better of the other two because it doesn't run the best on Switch. Like, it's got a bit of like input delay and like frame rates all over the place. But yeah, it's definitely interesting.
Turn-based, right? It's quite different from the other Monster.
Yeah. So it's turn-based, and there's like a whole like rock paper scissors sort of system in with like how attacks work. So like attacks kind of come out like simultaneously, and like one could beat out the other based on like the type and all that. Two kind of tries to bring in a bit more variety. There's like more weapons and stuff, and obviously more actual monsters too. It's just like I quite like the games. 2's better. Like, I think maybe Stories might feel a little dated now, especially releasing right alongside like another port of 2. But yeah, they're pretty cool spin-offs. It would be interesting to see if they do another one of them, or maybe if they do like another type of Monster Hunter spin-off entirely. but yeah, they're pretty good. It's interesting to see them release new versions of them now. Like, it's like Monster Hunter Stories 2 came out a few years ago now, like 3 years, I think, nearabouts. So, yeah, definitely an odd time, but I guess it's sort of something in the lead up to Wilds, really. It's like, hey, here you go, here's more versions of this, have fun. I guess it makes more sense for story specifically, since now that that's on PC, it'll never really die. Like, it won't ever be tied to like an old console or anything.
Yeah. The same applies to Shin Megami Tensei 5, which finally breaks the barriers of the Nintendo Switch.
Yeah, and Vengeance specifically is a bit of a weird one, because it's partly like Shin Megami Tensei 4 Apocalypse, where it's a new story, but then it also kind of includes the old story too. So, right. Like, from what I know, like, right at the start, you choose, like, which storyline to go down, like, either the old one or the new one. And obviously, like, even
though... Yeah, I think that's two different campaigns.
Yeah, so it's like that. Yeah, because it's like kind of like a side sequel-y thing, like 4 Apocalypse was, but it also still lets you do the old version anyway. I guess obviously since it's going to be on a bunch of different consoles other than just the Switch.
Just trying not to remake their JRPGs. Challenge impossible.
It's just like Vengeance is like... The thing with Vengeance specifically is, like, 5 definitely felt more than any of their other things that it needed, like, an updated version the most. Because it was kind of, like, stuck in development hell. It got announced when the Switch got announced, pretty much. Like, it took forever to come out.
All of a sudden, we were like, oh, right, that game existed.
Yeah, it's announced. Like, it took forever to come out and was a little bit rough around the edges.
It's a pretty good. The only problem is stuck with Switch, and it runs like...
Yes, that was the thing. So one of the things was, it's stuck on Switch, which is now fixed. The other thing was, like, story and stuff. There was, like, barely any real, like, characters. Like, barely any characters.
With that, I mean, it ran horribly. Not as a problem, per se. But it just wasn't optimized for Switch, ironically.
It's definitely nice to see it come out and other stuff. I'm interested to see how the PC version runs, because, like, ideally it would be a good fit for, like, Steam Deck or, like, other portable PCs, but at the same time, it's a Japanese game coming to PC, so... Like, even nowadays, it can be a bit hit and miss. It's definitely better than it used to be, but, yeah. Like, it's nice that it's not on Switch anymore, and it's getting touched up a bit. Like, even like, the Switch version of Vengeance will be a better version. Whether they've made improvements to performance is another thing, but there's definitely tweaks to the story, and there's obviously a new campaign that basically doubles the game, so it's cool. It definitely was the most necessary of the remakes, like, more than, like, Persona 5 Royal and all that. Like, it was definitely the one that needed it, but it's still probably not the best feeling for people that got it on Switch, you know?
And if you thought you could use your old save game on Switch, nope,
because that would make too much sense. Yep. It's Atlas, yep. I think that's the biggest mess up when it comes to the Switch version of Vengeance. There really should have been save transfer. It doesn't make any sense that there isn't.
Yeah.
But
unless they changed engines,
there's probably some tweaks and one on how. Yeah. Like, I'd imagine if there's some balance changes, it might cause issues. But like, you'd think, I think you can still carry over certain like a few demons or something anyway. So
yeah,
it's like,
right.
So it's like, it doesn't make any sense. Really. It's really dumb. It's like the start of the PS5 all over again with most games not supporting save transfers. But yeah, I'm interested in it. It doesn't really release at the best month for JRPG to drop, because it's only like a couple of weeks before some other stuff, but it's like kind of one I'll get to eventually, because I want to play it on PC and play through the new stuff.
Yeah, 4 days later, Still Wakes the Deep comes out. For me, the most interesting game of the month. A new first-person horror game by The Chinese Room. This time, no walking simulator. There's also climbing. There's some more gameplay than in Everybody's Gone to the Rapture or the Arrest. But yeah, it looks very interesting. It's very vague still what's happening on that 70s oil rig on the shores of Scotland. But yeah, I'm surprised it already comes out, since it was only unveiled at Gamescom last year. And I think the presentation that we had, the press got, was only shown in like November or December, that gameplay.
Yeah, no, it got. I'm guessing it got announced quite like late into development. Yeah.
And they were quite busy with Vampire the Masquerade Bloodlines 2.
That left me.
They separated teams now for both of those games.
Yeah, again, it's like I'm not really sure what's going to happen when that game, if that game comes out.
It's coming out this year.
It's maybe.
Maybe.
Unless it gets delayed again. Like, yeah, it's going to be a bit of a weird one.
But the most successful release of this month, or most anticipated one, is probably Elden Ring, Shadow of the Erdtree.
Yeah,
it's going to basically dominate everything that month.
And probably part of the reason why SMT5 Vengeance releases earlier than it was originally supposed to.
It was like, lol, nope, we ain't releasing.
And it even got a shout out during a presentation for the Final Fantasy 14 expansion, where it's like the director's like, I'll give you 2 weeks to play the Elden Ring DLC. It's technically more like 1 week, really, but yeah, like, or was it maybe you said 1 week and I've misremembered, but yeah, like, I still haven't played Elden Ring. But I was kind of like, when the DLC got announced, I'm like, maybe I'll just like wait and get it with the DLC.
Yeah, it's one and a half weeks between Shadow of the Erdtree and Dawn Trail.
The weirdness with Dawn Trail is that they're doing the whole, like, there's early access to it, but the early access version is just the game. So it's like the early access for Dawn Trail starts on like the 28th of June, I think. Oh, okay. I always get the date mixed up for it, but I think it's the 28th of June.
You need to subscribe to Square Enix Plus.
But yeah, it's like Elden Ring, I do want to play it eventually. I actually haven't spoiled myself on most of it somehow. I know some of the bosses and stuff, but that's about it. So it's like, I'll be going into it like relatively fresh. Like, any of the streams I watched were like really early stuff. I've been holding off on really watching anything else until I actually play it myself.
Nice.
So like, I'll probably get it after the DLC's out.
That would probably be a Game of the Year edition.
Yeah, the Bandai Namco release, and yeah, they did it for some of the other stuff, so I'd expect some sort of bundled version.
And there will also be a bundle of the Monster Hunter Stories games, but only after the games have launched on Steam, which is kind of weird. It's kind of a ripoff if you pre-order.
Yeah, I'd imagine it's something wonky with how the fact that two.
Or you don't get the pre-order bonuses, of course, then.
Yeah. But there's probably something to do with it, like, 2 already being released and like not being able to bundle it with like a pre-release thing. And yeah, I don't know. But
it's just weird to announce that on the store page. There will be bundles that will be cheaper, but only once the game launched. Please pre-order.
Yeah, it's a bit weird, but yeah, Stories it's like a little dated now, but not bad. Like,
not as dated as the PS2 original, probably.
Yeah, well, it's like, I played a bit of the mobile version of the first Monster Hunter Stories, and it's like decent. I'm 99% certain the only reason it's on sale on and mobile all the time is because they don't update it anymore. So like, there's always a chance it just like breaks on new devices. But it is, yeah, it's usually very very cheap on mobile now, and it works fine. It doesn't have like really high system requirements or anything either.
We're also getting a new Ryuga Gotoku Studio game this month, Super Monkey Ball Banana Rumble, the franchise that is closely associated with Ryuga Gotoku.
But no Kiryu this time.
Ah.
Well, he was DLC, I suppose, in the other one, but...
But I think like 16-player online multiplayer, which is quite impressive on Switch.
Yeah, for all the mini-game stuff.
Yeah.
Because like the mini-game's always been like a pretty big like part of the games.
Mm-hmm.
I think a lot of them are coming back. The interesting one with this new one, from what I've seen, this like a new that they like stole something from Sonic, so now there's a spin dash.
Oh yeah.
Which is kinda interesting. So like you can kinda get like a speed boost or like change course pretty quick. It looks all right. I know like all the Monkey Ball purists have always been kind of iffy on like any of the ones releasing after like the first few because they don't have the same physics, not the same. But yeah, it looks interesting. Still has the whole like you can skip half the level thing that the series has.
But I wonder why it's stuck on Switch, why it's not multi-platform.
Because they want you to double dip eventually.
Oh, right.
Well, yeah, it's probably easier to work on one system and then eventually port it to something else. But yeah, it's a bit weird.
Speaking of old franchises coming back, Luigi's Mansion 2 is getting an HD remaster on Switch as well. Next Level Games.
We finally have all the trilogy on Switch.
Yes.
Yeah, it looked a little rough last I saw it. It didn't look that great visually. Like, they definitely haven't, like, tweaked much.
Unlike Paper Mario? It's pretty much
a quick release to just have something coming
out. Yeah, it's definitely not like Paper Mario, where they've clearly done a lot. More than just visual side as well. But, yeah, it would have been nice to see them, like, kind of maybe, like, rework some stuff. Like, I know, like, Luigi Mansion 2, from what I remember, had, like, it was kind of repetitive. It was, like, almost, like, too long for its own good, because it was just, like, how it was structured. Because, like, it went from, like, the sort of, like, singular mansion thing to, like, a bunch of, like, mission-based stuff instead. I never actually checked, but I wonder if there was, like, a multiplayer mode. I wonder if that's getting carried over, too, or not.
Yeah, it was just what I was wondering about at the exact same moment as well.
Yeah, it wouldn't surprise me if they just went, nah, it's gone.
Loop by. It's like Ghostbusters. It never existed.
But yeah, it's, I don't know. It's definitely just sort of getting, like, thrown out there. It almost, it gives the same vibes as what Nintendo was doing with, like, really late 3DS stuff when the Switch was already out, where they'd randomly just, like, throw something out for the 3DS. Like, why it wasn't coming out on Switch, because it's obviously been in work for a few years or something, but it was just, like, it was just weird to see them, like, it's kind of what killed off the developer of, like, the Mario & Luigi RPG games, really, because they were, like, Bowser's Inside, the remake of Bowser's Inside Story got released on 3DS after the Switch was already out.
And also, the DS game was perfectly playable on 3DS as well.
Like,
so
it was just,
there was literally no need to remake
it. It was a very odd one, yeah. So, yeah, just like the Luigi's Mansion 2 HD kind of gives me that vibe.
And I'll even say the older game looked better than the newer one.
So, I do like the new one in some ways, but yeah, like I kind of prefer
the sprites were perfect. There was no need to replace them with the 3D models.
Yeah, it's... Yeah, it's just like, yeah, Luigi's Mansion 2 HD, it's just an odd release. I guess it's just to get it out there, really. There you go, yeah. They're all on the Switch now, have fun.
Luigi's Mansion 3 Luigi Edition.
Wasn't too bad for a licensed game. But yeah, we're also getting a brand new visual novel, Tsukihima, A Piece of Blue Glass Moon.
I was wondering if you were going to try and say that. But yeah, it's... it was a surprising announcement. Basically, the original visual novel came out like over 20 years ago now, and it seemed like one of those games that would never release. Same with the like another big one by the same developer, Fate Stay Night, because that one, a lot of the spin-off stuff released in English, like even the gacha game that's like Sony's involved with in some way. I always forget how it works with them, but it's just, like, the actual, like, main visual novels never got an official English release, so it took over 20 years, but the remake of Tsukihime is finally actually officially in English at the end of June, which is, it's a pretty big release in terms of, like, visual novels. It's just, yeah, unfortunately it releases, like, the day before the early access for the next Final Fantasy 14 expansion, so I will probably not be playing it for a bit. But it's cool that it exists.
Yeah.
Even if it took a while for any official release. And even because there was an anime adaption of it, which was terrible. And people just try and pretend it doesn't exist anymore. But yeah.
Meta's not coming to PC, but probably at a later point in time.
It probably will, yeah. There's always been some weirdness when it comes to, like, the main writer behind those games, where he, like, hates PC. Like, even though the original version of Tsukihime was on PC, but, you know.
Oh boy, it's judgment all over.
Yeah, so I say a PC version of it could happen eventually. I know there was, because basically they've been like doing like re-releases and remakes of their games, and there was another one. I always forget the name of it because I get names mixed up every 5 seconds.
I don't know that problem at all.
Oh, Witch on the Holy Night, that was the one where that got a remake. And it did come out on PC, so I think this has a chance of coming to PC at some point, but I guess we'll have to see. Switch is always good for visual novels anyway.
Yeah. I guess that's about it for June.
I'd say the last main one for me would be, I already mentioned a couple times anyway, would be Final Fantasy XIV Dawn Trail, which technically doesn't release until early July, but anybody that like pre-orders can play it on June 28th. So to me, it's out in June. Like, it's basically just their way of trying to stop server congestion by having like players that don't have the latest expansion playing at the same time, and like free trial players and stuff, so that they kind of like have a period where only people that have the latest expansion can play to try and stop issues. The last expansion was kind of notorious for like dying horribly when there's too many people trying to access it at once, but there's been like server upgrades and changes to how like the queue system works and stuff like that, so maybe it'll hold together, but we'll see. I am looking forward to it because it's a bit of an interesting, it's like a new arc for the game, I suppose, with like the previous expansion ending like the 10-year long one that was going for a while, so but basically kind of like a sort of semi brand new start for the game again, even if a lot of the stuff's still going to be the same with like how it patches come out and like gameplay design and things, but story wise it's new.
Nice.
But new players still will have to play through a lot to get to it.
Oh yeah.
Or buy one of the story skips, but you know, aside from that, just play like however long it takes to get through everything now. I'm not 100% sure what it's up to nowadays. Easily a few hundred hours, but it's probably bordering on like, I don't know at this point. Yeah, but it's at least a few hundred hours. But there's a lot to do. It's not like Destiny 2 where stuff just straight up gets removed entirely. I know they don't do that with Destiny 2 anymore, but like that game removed like a bunch of the early stories. Yeah. So it's just... I did try jumping into it with the New Light or whatever it was called, Destiny 2 New Light. I think that's what it, like the free version's called, but it's mostly just a demo, really. And it's very confusing. You just get dumped into things. I did play the original story of Destiny 2 before it got removed. So like I at least have a little bit more going on than a new player, but it's not a good experience. Versus having all the stories still available, even if some stuff's been tweaked or made easier or whatever.
Yeah, I wonder if Destiny 3 of them will be announced pretty soon. Maybe at Summer Game Fest?
I think the final
shape be surprised if they aren't developing it yet.
Yeah, it's hard to tell, because like, they'll obviously want to keep Final Shape going for at least a few years, but I think Final Shape's being sort of set up as like the final expansion for it. At least that's how it feels.
This time we mean it, guys, for real.
Yeah, well, I think like Sony's definitely been less than impressed with how Destiny's been going. It's been a bit of a mess across the board, but yeah, I'm interested to see where it goes. Destiny 3 is going to have the whole issue of like new players not knowing what's going on unless they structure it in a way where it's like it's sort of like a new start again. But yeah, I don't know. Destiny 2 is just not like, unless you have a few people that already play to like play with and like get you up to speed with what's actually happening.
Yeah.
It's kind of impenetrable now.
Right. But we may get a new game announced pretty soon, or it is already announced, Concord. I think it's also by some of the people who worked on Destiny 2, key people.
Yeah, I don't actually know much about it.
We will know more about it in a couple of hours, so join us in like 3 hours. at the evening of Thursday. We will upload this before for the State of Play.
State of Play, which got announced for the same time as the Marvel's Games thing, which is really unfortunate timing for them. Even if it's the one in probably
poor Marvelous, poor one out for the poor guys.
And we get a new Silent Hill transmission right after.
Which is, the PlayStation thing is like half an hour, I think.
Yeah, we got a half an hour break where we can watch Marvelous.
Which I think is an hour long.
Exactly, yeah. Hopefully the second half will be the most interesting one. So yeah, thanks for joining me. See you on the stream later on at the State of Play or next month.
Yeah.
Bye.
See you.
Bye.
Zombie.